This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, and that means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms, especially Overcast, and we are members of the Fans First Sports Network. Check out Fans First Sports Network for any podcast about any team in any sport. They got pretty much everything covered. Well, the season is almost over. The Caps have just 4 games left. Will they make the postseason? If you would have asked me this last week, I would have said, yeah, probably not. If you would have asked me 2 days ago, I would have said, probably not. But if you would have asked me last night after that game against Detroit, I said, yeah, okay, maybe they're going to make it. This team is up and down. Who knows? Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, my buddy Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much over here. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, feeling good. The Capitals are in that 8th spot, but they're coming off a bit of a losing skid. But if you're going to break a losing skid, you might as well do it against a team that is also looking for that 8th spot in the Detroit Red Wings. So it was good. It was a good win. It was a decisive win. Charlie Lindgren playing out of his mind. He deserved that shutout. That should have been a shutout. So very close for the boys. But day is darkest right before the dawn. You know, that's what I feel like.
Yes, the night is darkest just before the dawn.
Yes, the night is dark. That's what I feel like right now, because it was a 6-game losing skid, important games against the Penguins and other teams vying for that A spot. All hope looked like it was lost. And then they play a really great game in Detroit.
This team, it felt like every time there was a must that win that there's like, oh, and they fumbled the puck in this case, because it's hockey. They fumbled the puck right out of their hands. Whereas against Detroit, they're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do the opposite. of what we normally decide to do in this particular situation. And we're going to go out and we're going to win. And you know what? If for all intents and purposes, this game was a shutout. I mean, they scored with what? Like they had 1.1 on the
seconds.
That's what they put like 1.1 on the clock, but it was like 0.8, 0.7 seconds when they actually Detroit that is scored their goal. So the Caps, I think they played a tight game. They played a tough game, but they were able to come out and get that big win. But there's still so much that can change. I mean, looking at the standings right now, they're in, like you said, they're in the eighth spot. They'll be going up against the Rangers in Peter Laviolette when if the playoffs were to start today. But they are 1 point ahead of the Penguins, tied with them for the same amount of games played. They're 1 point up on Detroit, which is why that game was so important. Same amount of games played. And they're two up on Philly, who are turning into a bit of a dumpster fire in terms of how they're playing. They're actively trying not to make the playoffs. Now, they are 2 points behind the Islanders with the same amount of games played for third in the division. So that's still a possibility. And, you know, you get to kind of avoid the high-flying Rangers, at least in the first round. But then you just get Yevgeny Kuznetsov and the Carolina Hurricanes. Again, that is if it was to start today and they were in third. So still a lot to play for. Four games left. Anything can literally happen. And they're going to do it with guys having to fill in because, you know, this team still has some injury issues and, you know, they're stepping up playing well and hopefully they can finish strong. But the schedule, even finishing up, is not, it's not friendly.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the Islanders schedule right now. They like you said, four games left for them. They have Montreal, the Rangers, the Devils, and Pittsburgh. Comparing that to the Capitals
schedule. Moderately easier, but really not that much.
Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Boston, and Philly. So, I mean, I want to say like, oh, well, this game's a gimme. This team has nothing to play for.
Yo, there's no gimmies with this. There's no gimmies with this Washington Capitals team.
Absolutely. There's no gimmies. There is every single night's a playoff game and you don't know who's going to show up. You don't know who's hurting, who's ailing, or who's feeling great. Who knows if TJ Oshie will be in the lineup because it seems like every other day he's not being able to play. So like there's no gimmies. They got to play like it's the playoffs to get into the playoffs. And they end the season with a back-to-back, you know, it's no freebies, no free 2 points in any of these games. I do think that there are some winnable games here, but I also thought that last week and they were a part of that 6-game losing skid.
It's Brandon. It was your fault. No, I mean, like you said, at this point, there are no gimmies, and if you're a team that's out of the playoffs or highly unlikely to make it, you might enjoy the role of playing spoiler and sticking it to someone else. And so that the Caps right now, to say they have to win out is maybe dramatic depending on how all the other teams do, but it certainly would put them in a good spot if they could go on a nice little winning streak. I mean, you've got, in terms of the remaining games, you've got Buffalo, they're still a good team. Didn't they just beat up on the Caps what, a week ago?
Yeah, the Caps lost 6-2.
So it's not, I mean, this is the team that lost to the Arizona Coyotes. Now, we'll talk about that later. The
spoiler alert.
The Arizona twice this season. God, I scored what, like 10-1 or 9-1 or something nonsense like that. And so, you got Buffalo, who's out, but still playing well, clearly. You've got Tampa Bay, who is currently fighting to get into at least third in their division.
They've clinched a spot. It's just where they're going to play is still up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, they still have an opportunity to catch Toronto. Toronto has, you know, to lose out, which they're also making a play to try and get past Florida. And even theoretically, they could catch Boston. They're not going to. But so you got a Tampa team that needs win. You've got a Boston team that's trying to fight off Florida for first in their division and try and catch New York, who's only 3 points up on them for the top spot in the Eastern Conference. And then you get to wrap it up with the Flyers, who, while not being so great recently, could very well be in this thing going into the last game of the season. So literally their last four games, three of the four are teams still pushing for a playoff spot. They're not like, okay, you know what? We're not close enough to get to these guys, but we're ahead of these guys. Like, we can coast going into this thing. Kind of like the Caps used to do when they win the President's Trophy. They were so far up that they were just like, we don't have to worry about anything. And then they would get knocked out in the first round. But the reality is every game is going to be difficult for the rest of this season, which is good because it gets them, if they can win out or win enough to get into the playoffs, and that means they're already playing playoff hockey. The downside is when they lose, they do it spectacularly, but not if you're a fan of this franchise. So, I'd rather be playing like Montreal and Arizona, but that's not necessarily the best thing for them. I don't know. They need to play incredibly well to be able to win this thing. And, you know, they got some injuries to deal with now. And there's questions about secondary scoring. And that's not really what you want when you're making a late push for the playoffs.
Yeah, with the good comes the bad. The bad comes the good. I mean, it's we know that Alex Ovechkin is absolutely lighting it up right now. A guy who started out so poorly at the beginning of this season is now reached over 30 goals for the year, which is just absolutely insane. And while we are happy about that, and he's still chasing Gretzky, you want other guys to be scoring besides Alexander Ovechkin and your top six. I think we can all agree that goal that Dylan Strome had against Detroit really fired the team up. It was a great goal, a good looking goal. Stromer did awesome. He's been great this entire time. I've been thinking more and more about what you said about him, by the way, last week about potentially him being the next captain. I thought you'd want somebody with a little bit more tenure, but Strome has really come into his own with this team. And I don't know, I could see him with the C. But you want to see more people scoring goals, putting pucks in the back of the net, because besides Strome and besides Ovechkin, you know, the sticks have been quiet and the pucks have not been going to the back of the net.
And when you're a team trying to make this push, you need your secondary scoring. And I know Alexi Protas is a guy who's gone through some tricky spots offensively, that is. And he's coming off of an injury. He's got, you know, bad bruise on the foot. But what team and what player right now at this point in the season doesn't have an injury or something that they're dealing with? So you need that secondary scoring from him. You know, Strome, it can't just be the Strome and Ovechkin show. And one thing they've been talking about Caps this morning is the lack of secondary scoring from the defense. And, you know, Sandin's been putting some in, Vivari from time to time. Where did the offense go from Nick Jensen and Trevor Van Riemsdyk? Like, both those guys are really quiet. I don't think it's fair to, you know, rely on Iorio or Alexiev to necessarily be putting the puck in the net, given, you know, their younger guys. Iorio recently came up and has been playing. But, you know, veteran guys like Jensen, Van Riemsdyk, like Jensen's been through this thing in terms of, you know, trying to make a run, Van Riemsdyk as well. And so they need to step it up in terms of their production, because this team is going to need it, especially when it comes to the playoffs, when teams, you know, opposing teams, if the Caps make the playoffs, that is, the opposing team knows, well, we just have to shut down those two guys. We're fine. You know, can Oshie stay healthy? I don't know. So Milano, you know, I know he's had some injury troubles this season. Hopefully he can kind of turn it around and start producing offensively. Pacioretty, I'd like to see a little bit more from. So there's a lot. There's a lot of issues with this team offensively right now. And I think that's going to be something they're really going to be looking at in the offseason whenever it is that starts.
Yeah, and hopefully the offseason starts a little bit later than potentially out there.
Early June, early to mid June, yeah. Early June, because then mid June gets a little hectic for me.
Mid June's okay. Then if they go into mid June,
Brain, it's all about me, man. It's what I need.
Like you said, there has to be some more secondary scoring. I totally agree with that. But one guy that won't be able to do that for the rest of the season, unfortunately, is Rasmus Sandin, who did get hurt in that Montreal game. I believe they're saying it's a head injury. So it doesn't sound like we're going to be seeing him for a while. But I really do like Rasmus Sandin. I brought it up when we brought him in for that trade. But he seems to get hurt a lot. Now, I don't know. It's you don't want to question the durability of a player, and obviously we don't want anyone to get hurt. And I like the deal he signed. I like the fact that he's going to be a capital for the next couple of years. But man, I feel like, you know, every month or so, it seems like that guy is out for yet another injury. I don't know if it's just bad luck, but I mean, he even got hurt in the World Championship last year, if you remember. He couldn't even finish that tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like across sports, we see this with younger players, as, you know, we're still learning more about science and the body's still growing. And I feel like as they come out of, you know, the high school age, college age, as they're still trying to bulk up and get bigger, I feel like that's when we see more injuries happen until they kind of settle into their career a little. This isn't obviously true for everybody, but I feel like we see that throughout the professional sports world. You know, I'm thinking especially with like European football. I feel like I see that a lot. I feel like the NFL to an extent, you know, I feel like the players we focus on with injuries are like quarterbacks, and because they're so well protected, like if you breathe on one the wrong way, it's a 15-yard penalty and a first down. So you got too close to them. That's 20, you know, you're ejected and 75 yards, half the distance of the goal, first down. So, you know, I wonder if that's part of it. Head injuries are such a fluky thing that you almost, it's like, you know, what could you avoid it? What can we do? Do they need to do more research on helmets? Kind of like how the NFL has put, finally, the NFL put a fair amount of money into figuring out more about concussions. And the concussion aspect of Sandin's injury, assuming that's what head injury means, like, you know, although Carlson had a head injury and it wasn't a concussion.
That's true.
So he lost, you know, he had a ear removed or mostly removed or something like that. So there's more we need to know about Sandin in terms of what's going on with him. But he's a young guy. I'm not worried about it at this point. And hopefully it won't be a career for him, you know, plagued with missing out all the time because of injuries. So we'll see what happens. How old is Sandin? He's 20.
He's a young guy.
He just turned 24 at the beginning of March. So they still got him locked. Well, he's got a new contract going for a number of years after this season. He'll be the second highest paid defenseman. Should, you know, they not sign or trade for a guy that's somewhere in between him and Carlson or even ahead of Carlson. So there's plenty of time for him. You know, I like that move last year. I still like the move. It's going to hurt not having him, considering I think he was playing the second most minutes for a defenseman behind Carlson on this team. So that's a big loss, but a great opportunity for them to see what they've got in Iorio, because he's a part of that future. They're, you know, projected to have him be a part of this team's future. And it's one thing to come up in like mid-December or late, you know, November, when you're just like, okay, season's still pretty young, we're trying figuring things out, standings kind of jumping around, you're in a playoff push. Like, everybody's got to be on their game. So, like, bringing up a young guy, one, could completely screw you over because he can make a lot of mistakes, or he's learning a lot. I guess technically it could be both of those things. But, like, he's learning a lot, I would imagine, right now. And that can only benefit him and the Caps in the future. Presently, probably not so much. Maybe it could. But I think this is a great opportunity for him, and it's great experience for a guy like Iorio.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, it was really wild. I can't remember what game it was recently, but I actually heard the Joe B and Locker talk about Alexander Alexiev. I was like, oh yeah, remember that guy? He's still on this team.
He's been playing.
He's been playing, yeah, but they're actually like acknowledging him on the ice, which means he's doing a good job, you know, that he's doing something noticeable. I feel like it's been a very quiet season. You don't really hear from that guy a lot, but there's only so much you can learn by sitting up in the press box.
Well, that is certainly correct. And, you know, you have, what are they called? Like the Black Aces, the guys who, yes, you know, call up in the playoffs, but they're not gonna, I mean, that's a great opportunity. But when you're a young guy, Iorio, even Lucas Johansson, who, not to say he's not a young guy by any means. I mean, but he's 26, so he's not exactly a young guy in terms of like professional sports or hockey. The sitting up in the press box isn't going to do you as much good as it is playing every night. And so Alexiev sitting in the press box, you know, there could have been different reasons for it. Maybe they needed him to bulk up a bit. That obviously takes time. He needed to learn the system. There's a variety of reasons he wasn't playing well enough. Practicing certainly helps. I mean, I imagine when you're playing defense against a guy like Ovechkin in practice, you're certainly learning something.
Sure.
So there's a lot for him to learn, but let's also keep in mind that Alexiev turns 25 in November, mid-November. So next season, he's still a young guy as well in terms of sports, he could just rent a car. He's allowed to legally, which I don't understand that, but whatever. You could be driving for that's right. You can be driving for 9 years without being able to rent a car, but you can buy your own. But Alexiev is adapting. But I like what I see with him. Like, I'm curious to see what this team's defense looks like going into next season. And maybe there's a thing where Carberry's going like, look, this kid may have a future, but I don't think it's here. And I don't think we can necessarily give him the minutes he needs. So maybe they package him with someone else for that winger that they've been, the elusive top six winger that they've been trying to find and haven't been able to. So I'm curious to see. I say that a lot on the show. I'm curious to see. But this offseason is going to be very interesting. But right now, you're getting good experience for Iorio. You're getting good experience for Alexiev. You're getting experience for Favari. And you were getting good experience for Sandin. These are great opportunities for Malinston and Protas and McMichael and LaPierre and Mira Shevchenko. Like, all these guys are getting really good opportunities. And let's say they don't make the playoffs. A lot of those young guys, Mira Shevchenko, LaPierre, Iorio, Johansson, like, they're going to go back to Hershey and play on a very good Hershey Bears team in the Calder Cup playoffs. So they're getting good experience either way. Hershey right now is probably like, hey, can you leave us somebody? Like, I know we've got this thing more or less wrapped up for the regular season, but like, we need these guys. And I think Ocello can still technically catch them. I might have the wrong. But these guys are getting really good experience, and this only benefits the organization in the long run, be it as a part of the team or as a package to bring in something else.
Now, one other guy we got to talk about before we kind of wrap up Caps world here, because really, like, there's not much to discuss with the Caps because they need to win. Like,
They got rid of that six-game losing streak? Five-game losing streak? Yeah. I think it was six. They finally got that over with the win over Detroit, but yikes. That was an ugly six games.
Yeah. But we got to talk about John Carlson and his celebration of his 1,000 games played here in the NHL. Once again, I mean, I think it's crazy that Oshie and Carlson both reached that milestone in the same year, just a couple weeks apart. Once again, it was another 1,000 game celebration at Capital One Arena, this time for John Carlson. We've talked about him a lot recently. He's a heart and soul type of guy. He's a leader on this team. I thought it was great. It was nice to see Matty Perreault back up on the big screen. And remember Carlsner? Carlsner as a great duo there. So it was great to see those guys back on the big screen, congratulating John Carlson on his games played. I love seeing it. I love seeing those kind of celebrations, and John Carlson absolutely deserves it for all the things he's done for the team, for the community in DC, what he's done for the U.S., representing the U.S. in the Olympics. I mean, the guy has done it all, including winning a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, it's kind of crazy that these two things happened with him and Oshie in the same season, where you're looking at it and you're like, oh, this is really cool. Like, Oshie's having this opportunity. And then not only did it happen in the same season with the same team, but like a week apart or whatever it was. Right. We're like, what are the, and they, the thing that would have been, it would have made it sweeter, but obviously it would have been almost impossible. It's like they were drafted together. Kind of thing, like both drafted the same year, brought up the same year. Obviously the Caps traded for Oshie, so a number of his games were played with the St. Louis Blues. But I think it's great. And I think it's a really cool statistic that between Ovechkin, Carlson, and Backstrom, they are the third set of teammates in NHL history to play 1,000 games with the same team. So that is like rarefied air up there in terms of like for this organization to be able to kind of boast about to an extent. But to play 1,000 games, have three guys, and then they've all done it with one team. Like, how often do we see a guy play his entire career with one team, or at least play 1,000 games with, you know, with just one team? So
you don't, I mean, Gretzky got traded. Think about
that. Yeah. If Gretzky's getting traded, anybody's getting traded.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is. John Carlson, it's going to be a very weird place. We've already seen Nick Backstrom kind of be forced to hang up the skates. Obviously, we hope for the best, but, you know, do what you can with it. It sucks, but he's got to do what's best for him. But it's going to be a very weird team when Ovechkin decides to hang it up, when Carlson decides to hang it up, when Oshie decides to hang it up. To have those guys not be on this team, I mean, it's an end of an era.
Oh, 100%. I mean, they kind of had the end of the young guns era a while ago with Mike Green when he went off to Detroit, Alexander Semin went off to Carolina, and you had to kind of reboot the young guns. But this is the Stanley Cup era, you know, the era that finally brought that elusive championship to this team in this city, in this area. And to have a lot of those guys, one, a lot of the guys that were a part of that team are no longer with the organization, at least as active players. But then to have them just completely retire, like, it's one thing with, like, knowing Ovechkin is coming to the end of his time with this team at some point in the next, you know, likely 2, maybe 3 years, maybe less. But to have, you know, like you said, Backstrom, a guy that I remember being drafted, like watching the draft and seeing them pick him, and Ovechkin doing the awkward wink. And then Carlson, when he came up after winning was it World Juniors, and then came up and played for the team. And just, I don't know, it's just having had that opportunity as a fan to see these amazing players come and play for this organization and represent the team of, I'm literally wearing a t-shirt that represents this team, to have them be a part of that is just, it's a great thing for the fans and for the city and the organization. And it's going to be weird when they're not a part of it, but, you know, teams transition. The hope right now is that, you know, GM Brian McClellan is doing what he needs to do to set this team up to succeed when these guys step aside. And then we have the next era, and we're seeing, hopefully, the next era of this team right now with a number of these guys that have come up and are playing.
Yeah, there's some great players coming up. Connor McMichael, Henrik Lapierre, Protas. He's still got to get a little bit of work done, but he's getting there. You've got the future of Ryan Leonard as well. So the future definitely looks bright, but it's definitely going to be the end of an era. And yeah, I'm excited to see what they do next. But seeing those guys reach that 1,000 game mark, it is a special thing that these guys get to do it, and get to do it as teammates, as friends, as coworkers, I'm sure they feel like family now, but it is a great sport. And congratulations to John Carlson for being able to accomplish this. No easy task on his part. So, Coach Dan, anything else we should talk about here in Caps World?
Last little bit of news as he continues to amaze. Ovechkin is now the only player, one singular human being, to ever play in the NHL to have 18 30-goal seasons. He has had, this joke isn't going to work, I can't figure out how to form it correctly, so I'm just going to say it and see if it makes sense. He's had enough 30-goal seasons to be a legal adult. I think it kind of worked, right? Like, you get what I'm getting at. It was dumb. It was always going to be dumb, let's be fair. But that's insane. 18 seasons where he's had 30 goals. This dude is nuts. We're not going to see a player like Alex Ovechkin, both on the Capitals and in the NHL, I would imagine, like, ever again. He's a power forwarding goal scorer. I don't know how to grammatically make that make sense. He just scores a lot of goals and he hits you. And that's pretty rare that you have a guy that's going to do both and not break down, knock on wood. So, yeah, I don't know. That's just crazy to me.
Did you do anything on your 18th birthday that you weren't allowed to do before you hit 18? Like, did you go buy like a pack of cigarettes or a lottery ticket or something when you turned 18?
No.
You didn't do any of that?
Is his 30 goal season going to go buy a lottery ticket? No, but I'm saying, like, someone could have had a kid when Ovechkin first started in the NHL. That kid's going to college or is in his senior year of high school. And Ovechkin scored 30 goals in every one of those seasons. This, like, comparison thing, this joke we're going, has gone way too far. Like, this is getting absurd now. We're going, that's the rails. No, it's just, it's another thing where you're just like, yep, check that box in terms of Ovechkin set another freaking record.
His seasons can go to R-rated movies.
He could have already done that at 17.
The seasons, you have to be 18. You have to be 18. Okay.
No, you don't. You have to be 17.
18. It's 18.
I don't care.
It's 18. Now, you didn't live growing up, I'm telling you.
What? No. The, yeah. I don't know. While we're recording, there's more and more stuff going on about what we're going to be talking about and around the NHL, which by the time people are listening to this, they're going to actually, they may not know more. I imagine it might be a little bit of a gap, or it's going to happen really quickly, but we'll talk about that shortly.
It depends on when I pass out tonight while editing. Could I get the show done and out by midnight? I don't know. Could it be maybe 9 in the morning? We'll see.
I don't think we're going to have anything.
It's been a long day.
I don't think we're going to tell me. I don't think we're going to have anything go down by tomorrow morning, but who knows?
Well, I think that's it for what's going on in Caps world. We're going to be back with Down on the Farm, but before we do that, here is a quick word from some of our sponsors. Still my favorite intro we do. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 2-0 with both wins over Iowa. The Bears are currently first in the Atlantic Division and the entirety, that is the American Hockey League, with 105 points, 20 up on second place Providence for the division and 10 up on Coachella Valley for the league lead. Now they'll be back at it on Friday when they host Lehigh Valley at the Giant Center before heading to Wilkes-Barre Scranton on Saturday. I still think it's selfish. They think they can claim two cities. Now the Bears will wrap up their busy weekend hosting those same baby pens on Sunday. In other Bears news, the team announced that they have signed defenseman Cam Allen and forward Brett Hyland to amateur tryout agreements. Allen, a fifth-round pick in 2023, was with Ryan Drury's Guelph Storm, while Hyland, a seventh-round pick in 2023, was with the WHL's Brandon Wheat Kings.
Wait, that's our boy. That's Ryan buddy, Drury's
and
team.
He was talking about Cam Allen. So go ahead and check out one of our prior episodes to see what Ryan's thoughts were on the Caps prospect defenseman. Let's head down to South Carolina, where the Stingrays went 1-2 with a win over Jacksonville. Now they are currently third in the South Division with 84 points, 5 back of first place Greenville. Now, do you know on the ECHL website, when you click on standings, they do it originally by percentage points, even though the standings themselves are in by points accrued. So fix your website is what I'm saying, because I was very confused earlier today when I was trying to figure this out. Now, those Stingrays will be back at it this weekend to wrap up their season with 2 away games starting on Friday against Florida. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, well, go Bears, go Stingrays. We're going to take another break, and then we'll be back with Around the NHL and Beyond. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL and beyond. There's plenty of stuff going on in the world of hockey. So, Coach Dan, catch us up. What's going on around the NHL and beyond?
Well, let's start in Arizona, where there are reports that the NHL is looking at the very real possibility of relocating the Coyotes to Salt Lake City, Utah. Now, there are reports coming out like every 5 minutes, it feels like. I have Twitter up when we're recording and I'm like, another thing? So like I'm catching the headlines. I'm trying to catch some of the articles. I first saw today, Frank Saravalli of Daily Faceoff reported that the NHL, the Arizona Coyotes, and Smith Entertainment Group. Now they are the group that owns the Utah Jazz and Real Salt Lake. And you might remember a couple of weeks ago, we were actually talking about Salt Lake City being an option for a relocation or expansion with the National Hockey League. Now, there's a report from Saravalli saying that they have made significant progress on the framework of an agreement. That feels like a lot of big words to say that they have a plan in place to relocate the Coyotes to Salt Lake City. And then David Pagnotta of the Fourth Period says the plan has been in the works since the All-Star break, with Smith offering $1 billion for the team. Now, a lot of this is reports. This is rumors. This is, you know, sources revealing things. So we don't know how much of this is true. But I do feel like where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's something going on here. Now, we may not know anything for a little while. We may hear something tonight, for all we know. There's still a lot of work to do, and this could still easily not happen. But there is a chance that the Coyotes could start play in Utah as soon as next season. Now, I was just...
Next season?
Next season. They've already got a building where the Jazz play, the something, something arena, center, forum, stadium, whatever it's called. So that's out of, that's not a problem. I don't know about a practice facility, but I feel like they'll figure that out. They could probably just practice at the rink, at the arena, maybe. I don't know. But that's pretty crazy. Now, I was actually just in Utah this past August for a buddy of mine's wedding. Salt Lake City's cool. I've been there a couple of times. I was in Park City. It's amazing. So, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there's been reports of, you know, Salt Lake might becoming a little bit of a sports hub. I think that and Vegas are good opportunities. Vegas are, you know, had no teams within the last 5, 6, 7 years. And now they've got what? Two, with a third potentially on the way in the next couple of years if they don't stay in Sacramento. So, a lot going on with this story. So stay tuned for more from us. But I don't know. The Utah Coyotes does have a nice ring to it. And I actually did a Google search earlier today when I saw some of this stuff come out. There are Coyotes in Utah. This isn't like where you move, you know, a team and just keep the name. Oh, like the Lakers. Like, that's named because they're originally in, like, were they Milwaukee or whatever it was? So, like, there's lakes up there, not as much in L.A. So I don't know. It makes sense.
Well, it's kind of like when Indy stole the Baltimore Colts and then took the records and everything with Johnny U and the Colts name and logos and everything, even though that was a Baltimore thing.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't like it if the Coyotes just stayed the Coyotes. I think that would be kind of nasty. So, but
well, here's
could this be a thing where it's like they get the team for a year or two until the new stadium or arena is built, then they go back, and then Utah will get an expansion team, something like that? Or you really think it's just Arizona's losing their team?
Well, so I actually read an interesting report as well briefly on Twitter that was saying that the NHL is sort of set up for the team to move to Utah, whether they're Utah Coyotes or change their name. Is there's no reports about that, and that's kind of the least of their issues at the moment, that they would move, but that Arizona is still set up for an expansion team. I think I saw about like 2027 or 2028, depending on stadium deals and other things that need to be put in place, ownership groups. So it's not to say that hockey is dead in the desert. It just might be on hiatus for a little while. I don't think they're going to move the team and then move them back. I think if they move the team, they're staying there. And I think the fact that we heard about this, you know, weeks or months ago as a possibility in the future, and then this report today, like, something's going on. And I think there's a very real possibility that the Coyotes are playing in Utah next season as the Coyotes or something else. And I don't think you don't have to mess with anything. Like, there's no divisional change. It's not like when Atlanta went to Winnipeg and you had to completely like revamp a couple of things in terms of how they wanted to do it, because it didn't make sense to have Winnipeg in the Southeast division. So I think this is going to be real interesting and something to keep an eye on over the next potentially even couple of days. And I found it interesting that even the NHL, I think Bill Daly came out and was like, we have no comment, or something along those lines. So there's definitely something going on there. Edmonton's Evander Kane was fined $5,000 for slashing Calgary's Dryden Hunt. Let's move into international news, as the preliminary round of the Women's World Championship is over, and we are now onto the quarterfinal round. The tournament continues on Thursday when Finland will play Switzerland. The Czech Republic will be up against Germany. Canada faces off against Sweden, and the U.S. will play Japan. The Danish and Chinese teams have been demoted into Division 1A for 2025. We are also officially a month away from the Men's World Championship. The tournament begins on May 10th with Switzerland versus Norway. And finally, coming up this weekend is the NCAA Frozen Four. Tournament resumes on Thursday, April 11th, when Boston University takes on number 3 Denver at 5 p.m., followed up with number 1 Boston College against Michigan at 8:30 p.m. Both of those games will be on ESPN2. The championship game is scheduled for Saturday at 6 p.m., also on ESPN2. That's the news from around the NHL and beyond.
Don't forget that 8:30 game, Boston College versus Michigan. That will feature Ryan Leonard, our Big Caps drafted player, our big prospect, potentially future player, potentially a black ace maybe of the upcoming Stanley Cup run. We shall see. But you can definitely check that game out at 8:30. And then hopefully you are checking him out playing in the championship game on Saturday. But you got to get through Michigan first. So do what you got to do, Ryan. Can't wait to watch these games. I'm super excited to watch the NCAA Frozen Four. Absolutely love that tournament. So, Coach Dan, is that the show?
I think that's it, buddy.
All right, everybody. Well, if you would like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter, WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff on there. Also talking about Arsenal Football Club. Big draw against Bayern Munich. I don't really, you know, kind of feeling like that was a bit of a penalty at the end of the game there. Should have been a penalty shot for Bukayo Saka. No call. It's definitely an arguable position to be in. Also on there talking about the Orioles from time to time. Jackson Holliday with his MLB debut. Already has a double play.
He did strike out.
Oh, he did strike I've been out trying
his first
to...
at bat.
Dang it. I missed that on the Twitter. Well, that's annoying.
I need him to get a single, a double, or a home run.
I mean, those are three pretty good options
on the guy.
So yeah. that is finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But you know, if you've enjoyed this show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs, and the National Hockey League, and potentially the Utah Coyotes. I'm actually on Fanatics right now, likely going to buy an Arizona Coyote shirt because it'll be a collectible. Not to sell, I just think it would be fun to have. And I really like their logo. But yeah, that's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But hey, if you have enjoyed this, I forgot how I segue into your next freaking thing because I didn't talk about football. But hey, if you happen to be a fan of a certain purple clad team based out of Baltimore that plays in the National Football League that's going to have no one to protect Lamar Jackson, is there a podcast they should check out, Brandon?
So you can check out my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. We are available on any podcast app that you listen to this podcast on. We will have a show coming up soon because the NFL draft is a mere 2 weeks away, if you can believe that. And we had a show come out last week as well. So we're staying busy over on The Call. Whenever news breaks about the NFL, we'll be there to talk all about it. Now let's talk a little bit more about this show. Be social with What the Puck. Rate us over on Apple Podcast. No, rate us. Where do you rate us? You rate us on Spotify. You review us on Apple Podcast. I don't care who you tell. Just tell somebody about this podcast. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. On Thursday, April 11th, the Caps are in Buffalo against the Sabres. That game is at 7 o'clock. You can watch that one on Monumental Sports Network locally in the D.C. Baltimore region. Then on Saturday, April 13th, the Capitals are up against the Tampa Bay Lightning. That game is at 5:30. You can watch that one on the Monumental Sports Network. On Monday, April 15th, the Capitals stay in D.C. They are up against against Boston and those Bruins. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that one on the NHL Network or the Monumental Sports Network. And then wrapping up the season. I feel like we just started doing the show after our normal summer break. I really do. I can't believe we're talking about the final game of the regular season already. This is just bananas. But the Capitals are going to Philly up against the Flyers. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that one on Monumental Sports Network or, no, that's the Philadelphia one. So yeah, Monumental Sports Network. I'm still getting confused. Cause like I see NBC SP and I'm like, wait, NBC Sports, that's null and void. That's gone. That's not a channel anymore.
That no longer exists.
And yeah, I get so confused, but that's the Philadelphia affiliate. But yeah, 7 o'clock, Pittsburgh, 7 o'clock, Philadelphia Flyers, Monumental Sports Network. That's where you can check it out. So that's it for the show this week. Coach Dan, we got a back-to-back. Do you give Charlie a day off to end this season? Give Darcy some time between the pipes. What do you think? What's your call?
I think some of that depends on where they're at when they get to the Boston game, because if they, you know, if the other teams are struggling and they're pretty well set in their playoffs, which probably won't be the case, but they're pretty well set in the playoffs, then I think you need to give Kemper a game. So in the event that something happens in the playoffs, he's ready to play. But if they're not, I think Lindgren, if it's still up for grabs, I think Lindgren plays.
So Lindgren gets a back-to-back, but let's say hypothetically it's your first take there. Which game would you want Darcy Kemper to play in?
Philadelphia.
Against Boston or against Philly? You want him Philly?
Yeah.
Cause they're just a garbage dumpster fire right now.
I mean, they could easily turn that around. We thought the Penguins were out of it and now they're, you know, very much in it. So there's a lot that can still change.
Whole lot that can still change. All right, well, that's it for the show this week, everybody. Say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com. We'll be right back.